1 Corinthians 13, we're going to look at the whole chapter this morning. Now, before you lose your mind, it's only 13 verses. We're going to continue our theme of the church's one foundation. Again, I go back to our beautiful picture that we have, that they're the church, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about us. We are built up because people are faithful to be a part of this body. And you bring with you wonderful gifts the Holy Spirit has given you. And I want to remind you that that gift that you have is supernatural. I know we're Baptists and we don't like talking about the supernatural because it wigs us out. Well, shame on us. Because we are born again through a supernatural event. We should operate out of the supernatural. The problem that the church today has is we've taken the supernatural and we've began to put it into the hands of man. We begin to think like men. We begin to strategize as men. We begin to plan as men. And we leave the supernatural out. And when you leave the supernatural out, you lose the power of God in the midst of the body. So I want you to remember that this morning. And for the rest of our lives, that who we are is because of who Christ is and that supernatural giftedness that he's given us. Now, one of the supernatural gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us that through our salvation is love. Now, when I say love, you need to understand I'm not talking about the way you love a hamburger on the 4th of July. I'm not talking about the way you love even your spouse. I'm talking about a supernatural love that's called agape love. One of the things you need to remember is that only the follower of Jesus Christ can have this love. Lost people cannot have agape love. Why? Because it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. Until they come to Christ, they don't receive the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they can't agape love. That's why their love can come and go. Where our love should be solid and strong and in the midst of trouble, we love one another and we love others because it's a supernatural love. Dr. Mitchell was impressing upon his class that we are no longer under the law when we're in Christ, but we're under a new law. And that new law is the law of love, agape. Now, he used this to illustrate. He said, in America, there is a law stating that a woman must take care of her child. Did you know that? There's a law. You ladies, he's using women, so I'll do that. When you women become mothers, there is a law that you have to take care of that child. If you break that law, that child could be taken from you. Correct? Right? And you could even face jail time. So a man comes to a new mother's home and he says, are you taking care of your baby? The law says you have to. The woman, tenderly holding her baby, said, I don't need a law to make me take care of my baby. Why? Because she loves her baby. She feeds him, she holds him, she changes him because she loves him or her. I no longer need the law, brothers and sisters, because we are now under Christ, we are under the law of love. Now, if you're in 1 Corinthians 13, I want to kick off by how we finished last week with verse 31 of chapter 12, when Paul says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. In other words, you just keep doing what you're doing. You keep fussing and fighting over desiring to have all these crazy gifts so you could draw attention to yourself. Go ahead and desire that. But I will show you still a more excellent way. We're going to look at that excellent way today. And we see this in verses 1 through 3. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, but do not have agape, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have agape, if I do not have that love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have agape, but do not have that love, it profits me nothing. Now, Paul, in trying to make a very important point, he's going to exaggerate his illustration. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we see in the very first verse, Paul says that if he speaks with tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love. And he continues on with these things that are exaggerated. Nobody speaks like angels. Nowhere in the Bible do we see anybody speak like angels. So he's exaggerating. He's saying, listen, if I was able to articulate and speak like an angel would speak, if I was able to have the faith to remove a mountain and make it walk away, all these wonderful things that are exaggerated, but if I do not have love, they're worth nothing. Paul says, in fact, if I was able to speak like an angel, if I was able to speak like one of the best orators in history, he would just be without love, he'd just be a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. There's nothing more annoying than a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. How do I know that? Because I had a son that learned how to play the drums. Dustin, when I don't even remember how old he was, he first wanted to learn how to play the guitar. So we got him lessons to learn how to play guitars. Within a short time, Blake wanted to learn how to guitar. So now I got two guitar players. I don't know, about a year or so later, Dustin says, Dad, I want to learn how to play the drums. No! I'm like, why do you want to learn how to play drums? I don't know, I just want to learn how to play drums. So we bought him drums. Thank God he can play well today, because then it was clanging gongs and cymbals. And he had all his stuff. It didn't make sense to me, but he was having fun. That's the same way when we try to do things without agape love, when we do things without this supernatural love, that's all we are. We're clanging around like a drummer who has not had lessons. We just are making a noise. Now, here's the other thing about a clanging cymbal and a gong. That doesn't usually draw people. In fact, that kind of repels people. In my house, you wear earmuffs, right? You put things in your ears, shut the door, whatever. You do that over there. Now, if that's the case, do you think maybe a lot of people aren't coming to churches is because we've forgotten how to agape love and all we are to them are a clanging cymbal and a gong? We're just a bunch of noise. And it's not attracting people, but it's actually pushing them away. See, when we talk about agape love, we're not talking about some kind of social love. Anybody can love socially. Anybody can put money in a pot to help the poor. Anybody can go help build a house for those who don't have a home. Anybody can do those things, but that's just social love. That's something that is here today and gone tomorrow. We'll move on to the next thing. But agape love goes far beyond that. Why? Because agape love is sacrificial love. It's not a love of convenience. The agape isn't, well, I will love and do while it's convenient for me. Agape love says, I will love no matter what it takes. I will do without so others may have. That's agape love. Paul then uses the example of the gift of prophecy and the ability to know all mysteries. Again, just a exaggerated illustration because nobody knows all the mysteries and nobody has all the knowledge. But just let's say I do. Paul says, let's just say that I'm able to have all the knowledge and know all the mystery, to have spiritual understanding. Now, you can have all that, but without agape love, you're still nothing. We see a lot of pastors on the television that speak, and your Holy Spirit immediately says, that's a clanging cymbal, that's a gong. That there is no love in what they're saying. There's no agape in it. And they may be able to speak well, but in the, and let's just be honest, there are some people that are drawn to that. And you know some of the ones I'm talking about, they'll turn on. In fact, they will skip going to a body of believers. They would rather sit home and listen to these guys. Why? Because they speak well. They entertain well. And yet there is no agape love in it. You can't receive agape love through a TV screen. Nor can you give agape love through a TV screen. So we're without that, it's nothing. If he had the faith that could move mountains like Jesus spoke of, without agape, he is nothing. Now we see a great example of what I'm talking about with Jonah. Jonah was called by God to go preach to the great city of what? Nineveh. Very good, Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do that. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was there, but he was only going to do it for the Jewish people. And when God called him to go to the people he didn't like, Jonah said, no, not going to do it. Why? Because he did not love. And so he got on a boat, tried to go as far away as he could from where God wanted him to go. And we know that he was thrown into the ocean. Big old fish swallowed him up. Spit him out on the island where Nineveh was. On the beach where Nineveh was. Not an island. The beach where Nineveh was. And so guess what? He preached what God told him to preach to the people of Nineveh. But even then, the whole time, Jonah did not love, he did not agape those people. He was mad because here's what Jonah said. If I do this, they'll turn from their sin and repent, and you will forgive them. Jonah didn't want that to happen. What Jonah wanted was God to go, kaboom, and blow them up. And if we're not careful, if we don't do that which God has called us to do with this supernatural love, we're no better or different than Jonah. We do it because we have to do it, not because we get to do it. We do it because I'm next on the rotation, or I do it because I have to do it because nobody else will. If that's our attitude, I'm just saying you're probably better off not doing it. But when we have the heart of, because I love Jesus and I love the brothers and sisters of Christ, I will do it. Now I'm going to step on some toes a little bit, because we should not ever have to ask for volunteers in any area. Ever. Why? Because if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we should have that agape love. And if we have that agape love, whenever an opportunity arises, our first prayer isn't, do I have time to do it? It is, God, do you want me to do it? And here's even a better attitude, I would tell you. And this is how I operate, I am going to do that unless God tells me no. I'm not going to wait for God to tell me yes. If there's an opportunity, I'm going to do it until God tells me no. Because that's how I want to operate. I want to do it because I love Jesus. And I love people. Or at least I try to love people. Sometimes it's not easy. See, without love, we're worse than one with ignorance, because we know the truth and yet we choose not to love. Without love, we become pharisaical. We become just like the Pharisees of old. Do it because you have to do it. That's how the Pharisees did it. That's not how Jesus did it. Jesus said, do because you love. Why did Jesus come? Because God so loved. Everything Jesus did was out of love. Jesus died on the cross, not because he had to, but because he loved. Because Jesus loved us, before we were even a glimmer on this earth, Jesus died for us. Because of love. Colossians 3:14 says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You want to see a church that operates well together? You want to see a church that gets along together? You want to see a church that goes after the lost together? You'll see a church that agape loves one another. It can't help but bond us. It can't help when we do something stupid, we still come along and go, hey man, we've all been there, done that. Let's go. We're gonna help you get up and move on. We are not the stone throwers. We're the stone shields. We're the ones that block the stones that people throw at them. Why? Because we agape love. And Paul goes on to give another example that many followers of Christ would probably deem or say that it's the epitome of spirituality, by giving all one's possessions to feed the poor. I mean, when you look at what a Christian can do, wow. I mean, giving everything you have so that others could eat and have a place to live and have clothes on their back, that is the epitome of Christianity right there. We would all probably say that's probably not wrong. He even goes on to say, even if you allow yourself to be martyred, you say to yourself, I'm willing to die for Jesus. I will burn at the stake for Jesus. Without love, without agape, that's all worthless. It doesn't mean anything. Yes, people around you may look at you and go, wow, look at them. Look what they're doing. Isn't that awesome? But the problem is, God knows our heart, and if we're not doing it with love, then we are doing nothing of any substantiality. Everything we do must be because we love, and if we do it for any other reason, there is no value in it. Philippians 1:9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." So in the first three verses, we see the exaggerated examples of having wonderful gifts and doing amazing things. But without the heart of agape love and the eyes of God, it's all worthless. Why? Why is it worthless? Well, because we would be doing it with self-interest and pride. Look at me. Look at what I'm going to do. See, I wrote a check to the church for a big buku amount of money. You know what I love? We have people in this church that will come to me and say, "Pastor, we are going to give a certain amount of money," and it's usually pretty good chunk. I'm going, "Holy snikes." But we don't want anybody to know about it. Why? Because they're doing it out of love for Christ. And they don't want the applause of us all here on earth. They want the applause of Jesus when they get to heaven. And I'm thinking, yes, absolutely. In fact, the Bible tells us, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And we're not to seek the applause of man. We're not to seek the attaboys of man. We want to seek the applause and the attaboy of Jesus. Now, if Paul stopped there, we'd probably get a little concerned, because if we wouldn't know if we're doing ministry right. And we wouldn't know if we're doing ministry with love or not. How do we know? What's the litmus test to help me figure out if I'm ministering out of love or if I'm just doing it because I have to? Well, thankfully, Paul's going to give us some characteristics of what agape love looks like and what it doesn't look like. So verses 4 through 7, he says, love is patient. Agape love is patient. Now, I know some of us are like, well, done. You know, yeah, I was good until you said that. Love is patient. Now, remember, this is agape love. This isn't man's love. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Wow, that's agape love. How are we doing so far? If you're looking at that, are you taking this to heart and going, I can check that one, I'm doing that, we probably are struggling with some of these, right? Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, even if it steps all over our feet. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. If you've been to one wedding in your life, chapter 13 is going to be used. It's a beautiful text, and it's okay in a wedding. It's not what the text is talking about, but it's beautiful, and it's okay, because people want that, and I do it in weddings all the time as well. Now, here's something interesting that I want you to catch. In the English translations of love, they're mostly adjectives. They're descriptive words, right? In English, that's what love is. But in the Greek of love, it's a verb. It's action. It's not just descriptive. It does something. That's the difference between the love of the world and the love of agape, the love of the Holy Spirit. In fact, 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Going back to what this means. It's one thing for people to stand in front of a church or stand in front of a group or stand in one-on-one and say, I love you. Anybody can do that. But is there action to that love? When that person is down and hurting, when they're in need, where are we? Do we agape love indeed, or do we just give lip service? And we just need to remember, Jesus doesn't care about lip service. He cares about our actions. How are we going to love? Now, before you all think I'm pointing fingers, I want you to know there's always things that as a body and as individuals we can work on. But I will tell you that I have seen you love in action. I've seen it with my own eyes. There are things that people do in this church nobody else will ever know, but I saw it or I heard of it. And I'm proud of them. I've seen people give of their time to be with others in the hospital and sit with them. And nobody else might be able to have time to do that, but they do, and so they do. Paul goes on to say, first, love is patient. Now, understand this patience speaks more of dealing with people rather than circumstances or events. Okay? Some of us, we pray for patience and we're thinking about when we have a flat tire or when a tree gets blown down into our yard and we got to get the chainsaw out and cut it up. He's not talking about patience with those circumstances, although we need that. He's talking about patience with one another, with people. Church, let me remind you, we are all different. We think differently. We act differently. We move differently. It doesn't make it wrong if it's not sin. It just makes it different. And we got to be patient with people. Even how we worship is different. You'll have people jumping up and down and raising their hands and hollering hallelujah. And you'll have others that will just soak it in and worship in themselves. Which one's right, which one's wrong? You just have to be patient with one another. How we do ministry. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I heard tell it. Well, I have seen it with my own eyes. Men, when they get together to do a project, to work on a building or anything, they'll fuss and fight over who's doing it right. How do I know that? When we were building this building over there, they gave me the job, hey, we got all these boards with nails in them. Can you pull them out? No problem. I can do that. I had four different guys tell me that I was pulling out nails wrong. How do you pull out a nail wrong? If the nail comes out, it came out. I'm not sure there's this perfect technique. But so to make people happy, I first person come up, oh, no, don't do it like this. You do it like that. So I change it and I do it. This is true story. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I change it to make them happy and I start pulling out the nails that way. I kid you not, a little bit later, somebody else walks up and goes, no. That's not how you pull out nails. You pull out nails like this. About the third time, I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. Listen, I know if I've got at least three or four people that have a difference of opinion on how to pull out a nail, I guarantee you they have a difference of opinion how you hang a rafter and how you put down flooring. And I've seen people get angry and upset because people do it differently. Well, that's not how I do it. You just do it your way, and I'll quit, and I'll walk off. Can I tell you that is not agape love? That is selfish pride. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done, and let's do it together. And guess what? We may learn something along the way. Just because that's the way we've always done it doesn't necessarily make it the best way. Somebody else may come into your life and go, hey, here's how I do it. And if we're patient and listen, we may learn something. I used to think I knew how to tie a knot when I go fishing on my lures. Kyle looked and said, what kind of knot is that? That's stupid. Don't do that. He goes, I'm going to show you how to do a knot. And he taught me how to do a knot. There is a bazillion ways how to tie a knot on a lure. But you know what? Kyle's way was better. It was a stronger knot. I listened. I did it how my friend said I should do it. And if I did it right, I never lost a fish because my knot broke. When I did it wrong, I lost a lot of fish because my knot broke. So be patient. Love is patient. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but what? Is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You get that. Jesus wants everybody to come to him. Everybody, not just a select few. And he's patient. Listen, I've been out every night since my son's gone. And I'm like, Jesus, I just want to go home. Just come and get me. I want to be with my loved one again. And when I get down, I go to the scripture and says, hey, dummy, it's not about you. There's still people out there that are lost and need me. I don't like it, but I do it. Because Jesus wants everybody to come to him. Paul goes on to say, love is kind. This speaks of being useful, serving, and gracious. It is generous love that works for the welfare of others. Romans 2:4 says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And if the kindness of God can lead people to repentance, isn't it possible that the kindness of believers could lead someone to repentance? I think so. Love is not jealous. Let me tell you, love and jealousy are like oil and water. They just don't go together. You can't agape and be jealous. Speaks of wanting what someone else has. But there's even a worse jealousy than that. And that is wishing someone didn't have what they had. Can you imagine that kind of heart? I wish they didn't have that. I'm jealous of it. Agape love does not think like that. It is jealousy that drew Eve to take the forbidden fruit. She was jealous because God had all knowledge and she wanted it. Satan talked her right into it. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Now, these are things we need to be paying attention to. We need to be taking inventory of our agape love. So just don't flip through these, and I need you to stay awake. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not parade one's accomplishments, focusing on building up of oneself. To remove such characteristics, there must be a reminder that everything we have and everything that we are comes from Almighty God. We have absolutely nothing to brag about. Listen, I know some of you are talented. I know many of you are more talented than I am in just about everything. You're that talented because God allowed you to be. God allowed you to have fingers on your hands and toes on your feet. He gave you the legs to walk and the air in your lungs in which to sing and to breathe and to do what you do. So we do nothing without God's blessing. So therefore we have nothing to brag about. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Love does not act unbecoming. It speaks of having bad manners, being rude, even a self-righteous rudeness. Look, you may be right as rain about something spiritual, but if you're rude in doing it, shame on us. Shame on us. Because our righteousness, what we share, should be done out of love, not to prove that somebody's wrong and not to just prove that they're going to hell. But when we share righteousness, when we share the truth, it ought to be out of an agape love so that people do not perish, not to prove that we're right. Love does not seek its own way. This means we don't have to push to have everything our way. It is the sin of selfishness. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to do what? Serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to this earth to seek his own way. If he did, none of us would be here right now. Because you remember in the garden, he prayed, Lord, if there's any other way, can we do that? But not my will, but your will be done. That's what we got to. Jesus gives us the best example of how to do that. Love is not provoked. Love does not arouse anger. Agape love guards against being irritable and is not easily brought to anger. Okay, write that one down. Write that one down. Agape love will guard against such things. Usually such things come from someone who's seeking their own way, which we saw previously. Agape does not take into account any wrongs suffered. Love does not keep a ledger of wrongs done against us. This is hard. This is hard because I'm thinking a lot of us have a tally in the back of our mind. When somebody does something to hurt us, we write it down. We may not say anything about it, but it's there. We keep that ledger of who did something wrong to us. Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Listen, if Jesus loves in such a way that he does not take account our sin, who are we to keep account of others' sin? We don't have the right to do that. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. As Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm just telling you, any church that allows and says that homosexuality is good and is okay and allows one behind the pulpit is rejoicing in sin. And someday there, any church that allows things like that to happen and rejoices, when the church becomes more of a social body that fights what they consider injustice, becomes wrong. Our job, our prime responsibility is to point people to Jesus Christ and to love them till they come to repentance. Yes, we can help people have clothes on their back, and yes, we can help feed people, but it all has a purpose, and that's so they come to salvation. Anything else becomes sin because we're getting away from the cause that Christ has given us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. To bear means to support, therefore to protect. Love does not gossip, nor does true love even listen to it. Gossip does not come in the form of a prayer request. Be careful of that. But when sin is certain, love tries to correct with the least possible harm to that person. We don't look the other way. It is our responsibility as believers to lovingly come to them and say, brother or sister, can I talk to you about this situation? Because I love you. Now, I just want you to know, if somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I love you, can I talk to you about something? I'm more likely to hear what they're saying. But if somebody comes at me with a fist or a finger pointed in my face, you've done shut the door on anything you're going to say to me. And that's the same way with any of us. When there is a situation and there's sin in the body, we are supposed to confront it, but we're supposed to do it with love, with that agape. We can't ignore it because we're not doing that person a favor. We're causing more harm, not only to them, but the rest of the body. We need to stop looking the other way when it comes to things of sin. And we're not ignorant of what sin is. The Bible's very clear. But we choose to look the other way. Oh, we may hurt somebody's feelings. They may stop coming to church. Well, it doesn't do them any good to come to church and they're still in that sin. Somebody's got to tell them what they're doing needs corrected. Is it the preacher's job all the time to say, thus saith the Lord, stop doing it because God said so? Or is it the body's job to do that? Because we love, we do those things that are hard. Not for our sake, because for our sake, the easy thing to do is just let it go. But for their sake. You parents, I don't think all, maybe some of you, but most of us did not enjoy when we had to whip our child. We did it because we loved them and we needed to correct something they were doing wrong. Love trusts. Love has confidence. Love believes. When a believer runs low on faith, they have to hold on to hope. The hope that human failure is never final. That's the hope that we have. And we need to come along and love one another to the point when somebody is struggling in their faith, we can come alongside and say, hey, I get it. I understand. I'm here with you. For you, I'm going to walk through this with you so that you know that you are not alone. And while you're lacking in faith, I have enough faith for both of us right now. Because I'm telling you, every one of us, there will come a time when we'll need a believer to come alongside and have faith for us where our faith is lacking. Love endures all things. To agape love at all costs. It will stand against opposition. Agape love never stops. It has endurance to the unending climax of love. Verses 8 through 13. Oh, we're doing great on time. Love never fails. And you might want to circle that in your Bible if you're one to write in your Bible. Some people don't like doing that, and that's okay. But if you do, I would circle that. Love never fails. Agape love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Verse 13, beautiful gift, or beautiful script, text. Write this, circle this. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is what? I can't hear you. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Love never fails. Throughout all eternity, agape love will never end. Did you know that? Through all eternity, agape love will never end. Love will last. The church may fall and fail in many areas of its ministry, but the church cannot fail in agape love. We cannot allow that to happen. Love will always be the foundation of any successful ministry. You want to have a successful ministry? Agape love. Listen, you want a good vacation Bible school this year? Love those children. Love those parents that come in. Agape love them, and we will have a successful VBS. World changers, you want to have a successful trip? You want to see lives change? Then you go and you agape love those homeowners that you're working with. When you go out on those prayer walks, agape love those you're praying for. Don't just be praying to be praying. Have love for them, and your ministry will be successful. Paul emphasizes the supreme nature of love by comparing it to the impermanence of three specific spiritual gifts that they think that the church of Corinth thought it was awesome, that everybody should have that. Paul's going to say, Remember when I told you I was going to show you a better way? Here it comes. Prophecy and knowledge, all that you want, that gift that you thought was great and awesome, it's going to be done away with someday. Those tongues, speaking in different languages you think is so cool, guess what? It's going to be done away with. It's going to cease. And Paul goes on to explain that even him, but us, we know in part, we know some things, we get some things in part, right? Let's be honest, there's some things in here we don't quite fully understand, right? And we can prophesy or we can preach in part because we know in part. But our knowledge and the ability to prophesy or preach can only be accomplished according to what has been revealed up to that point in history. For the church of Corinth, they didn't even have the New Testament. All they had was this letter and the Old Testament. So surely they didn't know everything. He goes on to say, but when the perfect comes, when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, when we're in that eternal heavenly state, believers will fully know. We will know everything that escaped us to this time. Spiritual gifts, listen, spiritual gifts, what you have, what the Holy Spirit has given you as a gift up to this point is only given for a time. You all have different spiritual gifts. Every one of us have agape love if you're in Christ. You have the spiritual ability to love as Christ loved. That is given to every believer. And there is a gift given to every believer beyond that. But guess what? That only is going to last while we're here on earth. But that agape love is going to last throughout all eternity. In verse 11 and 12, Paul illustrates how we are as Christians today. We're like children, are we not? We have childish knowledge and we have childish spirituality, but someday that's going to be gone. There's going to be a day that is coming that we will no longer see as if we're looking dimly into a dimly lit mirror. We will know fully just as much as God has known us fully. I'll close with this. Lastly, there are three great spiritual virtues that are mentioned: faith, hope, and love. Paul exclaims that love is the greatest of these. Why such a proclamation? Why is Paul willing to say agape love is greater than faith and hope? Because faith and hope have no place in heaven. Think about that for a second. Faith and hope, there's no place for that in heaven. But love will always be there. That's why agape is the greatest. And love, this agape, is the greatest also because it is the most God-like. God isn't the God of faith. He isn't the God of hope. He is the God of love. God doesn't have faith. He doesn't have hope. 1 John 4:8 says, the one who does not have love does not know God. Why? For God is love. And it is only through love the world will be conquered. You want to know why the church rose to be all over the world like it has been? Is because the early church agape loved. When the Black Plague hit and everybody was leaving the city, the church stayed and ministered to those who were dying. And many of them died in the process. Why? Not because they wanted to, but because they loved agape. The church built most of the hospitals, early hospitals, the church built. The universities, the church built. The church was great in the day because they loved agape. And the question we may ask is, what has happened to the church today? Why is the church not growing like it used to? Why isn't the church not as effective as it used to be? Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid it's because we have forgotten how to agape love. So let us look into the mirror of God's word this morning and ask this question. Are we loving as Jesus loved? Are we loving, agape loving, as He would have us to do so?